I want to read a little bit from over the book of Deuteronomy. In the 8th chapter, it says in the 11th verse, it says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." Okay, there's the warning. Beware. Beware. See, a warning from the ministry to beware that you forget not the Lord thy God. We only have one God, and that is the Lord God. So then beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Beware. Now, it says here in the beginning of this 8th verse, our 8th chapter, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." Now I want you to think for just a minute, folks. The world is mixed up. The entire world is mixed up. They are mixed up to the extent that they feel as individuals that they can go out into the world and that they can eat and that they can drink, they can buy, they can sail, they can frolic, they can take dope, they can smoke, they can chew the cud, they can do anything they want to. You know, and it's just a matter of their choice as to whether they ever want to serve God or come to God. You know, or that religion is just something that some people have to have and some people don't have to have it. And that religion is something that some people go after and other people doesn't go after it. And so then in their minds and their heart, they settled it and they went out and they've done their thing and they're still going out doing their thing in the world, because as far as they're concerned, it's just something that's optional. If you want a Ford, get a Ford. If you want a Chevrolet, get a Chevrolet. If you don't like either one, get a Buick. You know, and this is the way they look at it. So then to them, it's just a thing, you know, like everything else in the world. But let me tell you something. The Bible said, beware. The minister is here to tell you that that isn't the way it is at all. That God has made a heaven, and God has made an earth, and God has made the seas, and God hath made all that is therein. And God is the one that made the stars and the moon, not science. And that God is the one that made you a human being. And God is the one that made you to see or to be blind or to hear or to be deaf. And God is the one that made you to be born as a freak or to be born as a human being or to be born as a beast. God is the one. And God is the one that made you that you might worship him all the day long and sing his praises all the day long and love him all the day long. And there is nothing optional about it. There is nothing as to whether you want to do it or not. You do it or you are cast alive into a lake of fire burning with fire and brimstone. You don't have any say in the matter. You don't have any option in the matter. Peter on the day of Pentecost did not ask those people to be saved. The Bible said as he preached, he commanded them to repent of their sins. And I'm commanding you this morning, I'm not asking you, I'm commanding you this morning to repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, or be cast alive into a lake of fire that's burning with fire and brimstone. Suit yourself either way you want to go. So then there's no option about it. With the people of our day, Jesus called a sinful and an adulterous generation. They've gone crazy. They've gone wild. They've got so much education till they've lost good common sense. And they do what they want to when they get ready. They don't like for you to tell them what's right and what's wrong. If the young man sitting here then, a devil hit him, he didn't like it at all because I said that. But that's because he's full of the devil. So then it's my job to tell you that you're full of the devil, and if you don't get rid of the devil, you're going to hell. So then Brother Pike's not here to pass out sugar tits, as Brother Jack Coe said one time. I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm here to tell you that you're going to hell if you don't do right. This generation don't need somebody to stand up and say, hey, God loves you and God will do this and God will do that. They need somebody that will stand up and say, God is tired of your foolishness and your devilish ways, and he's fixing to gather you just like a bunch of freaks and put you into hell. It's like a vision I had one time. I looked out and the whole place was filled with freaks. I saw the people going up and down the sidewalk, and they were freaks, little heads. There were heads walking along with little legs and an arm over here. And just, it was the most freakish thing you ever seen in your life. And I saw a great big hand as it went out past me, and it come back and it pulled all of these freaks back to me. And then I took those freaks and I turned them into people. And I turned them into decency. And they become whole. And they were great. They were mighty people as to what I could see. So then, see, God didn't send me to tell you that you just can do any old way and still come and cry a little bit like Esau and then run back out there and do the same things and come back again. He come to tell me that you are a sinful and adulterous generation, that he is going to burn with fire, and that he's going to cast you alive into a lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone. See, it is a true fact that God has said, let whosoever will come. We preach that, but God also said, let whosoever will come, and all of them that will not come, I'll cast them alive into a lake of fire. So then, as Paul said, we've not shunned to declare unto you the full counsel of God. I preach unto you, let whosoever will come. And then I preach unto you that if you don't come, you're going to go to hell. So Peter commanded them to repent of their sins, or God would turn them into hell. And not only that, but God said to them that are out of the world, that's frolicking and doing what they want to do, and taking this as an optional thing, he said, ye that forget God, I'll tear you into pieces. He said, someday I'll meet you as a bear robbed of her cubs, and I'll tear you into pieces just because you forgot me and left me out of your life. He said that I will tear you into pieces. Though you give offerings, though you might run to church once in a while, though you might join some religious church to have religious affiliation, he says that I will tear you into pieces because you have forgotten me. You've left God out of your life. The very thing that God destroyed Saul over was this. He said, thou hast forsaken or left off with the word of God. And said, because you have, then I have left off with thee. So he said, because thou hast rejected my word, Saul, I've rejected thee. And everyone that rejects God's word is a Saul. The world is a Saul out there. They've rejected the word of God. And everyone that has rejected the word of God, God will cut them off. It's like Paul of old. God didn't ask Paul if he would follow him. God never said, Paul, will you come and follow me? He didn't do that. God got upset. Paul kept on with his foolishness until God got upset, and the Bible said that God struck him down and struck him blind. And then when Paul got sobered up, Paul began to follow God. God said, Paul, you go down to the street called Straight. That's what people need to do, is go down to the street called Straight. God didn't ask me if I'd follow him. One day I was out on the job. I was doing whatever I wanted to do. I'd bought me a little acreage of land, and I was trying to build me a little house. And I was trying to get me a little place for me and mine. And God struck me down. And when I found myself, when I come to, I was out on the ground. I'd come to the door. I'd seen the end of the world, and I was laying out there on the ground, and a woman was bathing my face off. And when I got my bearings, I couldn't get myself together for months. But I solemnly promised God, I said, God, I'll serve you. If you'll help me, if you'll restore me, if you'll put me back together, you won't have any more problem out of me. See, and you that just kind of dilly-dally along waiting for somebody to preach your sermon and another sermon and another sermon and another sermon, you're going to wind up in hell. All of those people out there, professional people, doctors, dentists, lawyers, whatever, they're going into a lake of fire that's burning with fire and brimstone, and many of the ministers are going into the lake of fire because they're nothing but people that are in hypocrisy. Churches, hundreds and thousands and millions of people that attend church with a regularity will go into the lake of fire, be cast in alive, burning with fire and brimstone. And the Bible said the false prophet was taken, and the beasts were taken, and they together were cast into a lake of fire. Alive into a lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone. So then, I'm here to tell you this morning to beware. The Bible said beware. He told him, he said, you beware, lest you forget God. Now listen to it. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hath built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, just like America's has, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand that gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now, I want you to notice this in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. I want you to notice what the Lord is saying. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Listen now, this is the blessing. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. America has been a great, blessed nation. In other countries, they're cursed because they worship idols, and they can't even get food and can't even get the ground to give them water. The Bible says that the ground won't yield its fruit for you. I want you to listen to this now. I want to talk to you just for a minute. Cain killed Abel. And the Bible said, from henceforth, even the ground shall not yield its strength to thee. And a lot of those people are heathens from the seed of Cain. Anybody that's not born again, anybody that does not serve God, comes under the Cain thing. And even though in America God's pouring out right now the rain upon the just and the unjust, it's going to be a change like it was down in Egypt when he severed between them. And he put the righteous in the land of Goshen and blessed them. And the others, he put down the other part of Egypt and poured out his wrath upon them. Now I want to read this very carefully to you, because we're on the verge of this happening right now. Everyone that's fallen from grace is under the law. And people that are not Christians have fallen from grace. And the Bible said, no flesh shall be justified by the law, because by the knowledge of the law comes the wrath of God. So if you're under the law, then that means you're under the wrath of God. And if you're not a Christian, then you're under the law. And if you're under the law, then you're under the wrath of God. I want to read this to you real slow and careful, and I want you to listen. Remember, the minister has the power to bless. The minister has the power of cursing. He's got the power of blessing and cursing in his hand. And he can bless you or he can curse you, and it'll come to pass. In the Bible, they were smitten blind. In the Bible, they were killed. Paul smote some people blind because of their foolishness. Peter killed some people. Ananias and Sapphira, immediately he said, you've lied to God. And just like that, he killed them when he spoke to them. So then, there's a power with the ministry. And the ministry, the Bible said, is a revenger. The minister is not just there to preach. He is a revenger. He is a revenger upon them that do evil. And the Bible said he sat there to bless you or curse you. Will you then not be afraid? For conscience sake, seeing that he is the minister of God, set there to execute wrath and judgment upon them that do evil. So then that's why I'm here. I'm here to bring judgment and wrath upon every person that will not follow the ministry. Every person, I preach for years, down through the years, I preach. Numbers of people, men and women are dead that sat under this ministry. And young men, boys and girls are dead that sat under this ministry. They were warned. And see, not only that, but where we preach over television and we preach over the radio and we preach through the printed page and tracts and wherever. Wherever this ministry goes out, judgment follows. And everyone that fails to humble themselves and to honor God, then I bring wrath and judgment upon them. And all of them that follow and humble themselves that come to Christ, then I bring the blessing of God upon them. I'm here for that purpose. I am a revenger. The Bible speaks of the revenger of blood in the Old Testament. And see, in this day, the ministry is the revenger. We are the revengers, set here to revenge and to bring the wrath of God upon you. Some of you that are sitting here already has felt the sting of the wrath of God. You've been under this ministry and you didn't obey and you didn't honor. And you've had your homes torn to pieces and your hearts torn to pieces and your minds torn to pieces. And many of you have been in and out of prison and you've had done all kind of things and got into all kind of troubles, financial problems. You've had all kind of troubles, physical problems you've got right now because you've been under this ministry and because you would not listen. You've got a lot more problems coming. The entire world of today is under the judgment of God, and there's diseases everywhere. That's why I want to remind you of this before I read, to let you know where these diseases come from and what happens. The Bible said, can evil come to a city and I have not sinned it, saith the Lord? There is no way that evil can come to a city and God's not the one that sinned it. He said, I create the good, I create the evil, I have my way in both. I work all things after the counsel of my own will. I rule in the affairs of men. If one king comes up and another goes down, a queen comes up, another goes down. One president comes up, another goes down. God put them up and God put them down. And God's the one that did it. If evil come to the city and they start bumming, God sent that evil to the city. See, when that man over yonder was doing what he was doing, Khomeini, and those people back over there, and when Reagan began to send the bums in there, God sent them bums in there. He got tired of it. He got tired of the way they were doing. He got tired of them killing innocent people. And so he sent the bums in there. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, that killed innocent little children. I know it did. I know it did in some cases. But whether big snakes or little snakes, you kill all of the snakes. And I'm not calling those little ones snakes over there. Could have been some good people among them. For people throughout the world, we're supposed to preach the gospel to them. But I'm just saying this, that when God got upset because of what they did to his man Daniel, God threw all of them in there. He just put the whole bunch of them in the lion's den. See, back there, God would command the children and all of them, everybody connected with the family. He'd destroy them and feed them to the lions. And that's the way he did with the bumming over there. See, he gets tired of those things. God gets weary of those things. And when God gets tired of it, then he begins to do something about it. All right, now I want to read this to you. Remember, I'm going to go over this again. If you listen to the voice of God, blessed shall thou be in the city. That's the way it's been with America. How blessed her cities has been. And blessed shall thou be in the field. How blessed her fields have been. Yielding and yielding, supplying the world. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. How blessed shall have been the children of America in the past. They were not crippled, they were not blind, they were not deaf, they were not freaks, they were blessed little fellows, whole and happy. I remember myself running across the field as a boy, having a good time. We hardly ever heard of anything like that. But see, he goes on to say, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground. Our flocks, our grounds, our harvest have been real healthy. And the fruit of thy cattle, our cattle has been real healthy. I'm speaking up until the last, just here at the last, the latter part. And then it's getting to where they've got diseases, everything is just gone. And the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Our stores have been running over with food, the very best of food. Blessed shall be thou be when thou comest in. We've been blessed. In the years gone by, there was no vexation of spirit. Men weren't vexed out of their minds. See, they wasn't tormented. They were happy. I remember when I was happy. My dad was happy. My uncles, my granddad, we were happy folks, having a good time. And then he says here, blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. That is the blessing of the Lord. Listen now, we didn't have any problems with the enemy overseas. We were always victorious. They didn't just bleed us to death on every side, take our children into captivity. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people. We used to be a holy people in America. A holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee. They're just a bunch of hypocrites now, religious people. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. I remember when the nations around us were afraid. They said America has ladies, and they are real gentlemen, and they were afraid of us, and they spoke of us with great reverence. But you step down across the borders of Mexico or go into the other places now, and they treat you like scum. It says, and all the people there shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord swear unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give thee rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. I have looked at the list of the nations that we lent to, and it is unbelievable. There's hardly a nation in the world that we hadn't lent to, and I mean lent to them liberally. I saw the listing of it. Now we do good to carry our own. We're going, as a matter of fact, America's already bankrupt. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But, listen now, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not listen. Or he says, hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now listen, you heard about the blessings. You know it's been that way. You that have spent any time in this world, any time at all, as to 20 or 30, 40 years, you know for a fact it has been exactly the way that God has said to the blessing. Now, if God is faithful to that blessing, to do to you what he said he would do in blessing you, then that means that he is going to curse you if you don't do good, and he'll be faithful to curse you the same way that he has been to bless you. Listen now, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. See if any of them's familiar to you. Cursed shall thou be in the city. Are we cursed in the city? Nothing but crime, killing. You can't even walk up the street without women being ravished and men being killed, being molested, banks running in and out, robbing them, fires and great towering buildings tumbling, the fire siren whining all the time, the siren of the police all the time. Not too long ago, a friend of mine that was on the telephone exchange there in Atlanta, she told us how that continually, said over the weekend, it is continually, said it never lets up. Continually a crime or something happened. She said we are continually, as we are on duty, continually making the contacts with the police and the means of relief. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. You can't hardly get nothing to grow in the field anymore. You plant tomatoes and here come the little cutworms and cuts them off. You plant something else and here come the beetles and here comes everything. It's just a mess, and the rain, it's all out of sauce. The weather don't react right. And radioactive fallout from bums and everything else is falling into the water. The Bible speaks in the book of Revelation where this stuff was poured out into the streams and into the rivers, and the waters became bitter and many men died of these things. Speaks of where these plagues were poured out into the air, which is going to be a derivative from those bombs. When those bombs start bursting and God turns those people loose, it's going to be those vials that's poured out in the air, and all those horrible, hideous things are going to begin to take place. So it's the last plagues of God. John said, I saw the nations of the world crumble. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Rots out. Get rotten stuff going there. You can't find nothing. A lot of times, and when you do get something, all of a sudden, a number of people get killed, and somebody says, well, somebody tampered with the food, and they put poison in it. Or somebody put poison in something that you use in your makeup or whatever, you know. Always poison in something. You get afraid. You don't know what to get anymore. And when you get something like in Atlanta not too long ago, they found out they'd been serving them dog meat, I believe it was, up there in one of the leading cafes. So see, you don't really know. You don't know what you're getting anymore. You go back there a lot of times even to get a meal, and you get the waitress upset with you and she spits in it, brings it back with a smile and a grin and laughs over the corner while you eat it. You say, no, Brother Pike, I know it's true. Absolutely true. Usually if a waitress gets upset at me, if I get upset at her, I usually excuse myself and I go to the next restaurant. That's right. So it said, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. Now, look at the fruit of the body. Everywhere. When women go to birth children, it's a cesarean. They can't even birth children normal anymore. They're cut up. They're just chopped up all to pieces just in bringing a little child into the world, which was supposed to be a normal, godly, holy thing to reproduce and replenish the earth. But look at it now, and the little children, look at them, just about everyone that's born into the world, something's wrong with it. It's got a breathing condition, or it's got a brain condition, or something is wrong with it. You know, the features are all warped up, or some kind of a freak. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. Then he goes on to say, and the fruit of thy land. Look at the fruit of the land. It's hard to get good fruit anymore. Sometimes you'll have to send off into another state to get good fruit. Something will happen. It'll be diseased up. Something bad will happen. It said, and the increase of thy kind, that is to say of the cattle. Look at what they call the black leg and all of these other kind of diseases. You can't hardly raise cattle anymore. Something will happen to them. And if you do kill them, slaughter them, and eat them, a lot of times you're getting diseases. Much of the meat that's in the stores of today are diseased cattle. Diseased cattle. Somebody said something about a bargain. Brother Richard back here. Brother Richard Donald said something about a bargain he found. Said it was a bargain. Said, oh, there's nothing but drumsticks, chicken legs. And he was going to buy them. And somebody said, don't do that. Said, because the way that they get those is from diseased chickens. Or something's happened to chickens. So we cancel out on that right quick. See, I'm telling you that this is what you're eating. Said, cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. People are vexed. They're taking dope. They're drinking. They're doing everything that they know to do to find relief and can't find no kind of relief. The hospitals are filling up. The insane asylums are filling up. Everything is filling up. And so then, cursed shall thou be. The Bible said that you will be cursed. Listen to this. The Lord, not the devil. Not the devil. Somebody said, that old devil is after me all the time. You better listen to this. You better read this. You better understand this. Somebody said, God is good. God is love. Like a group of people, they teach that God is all good. Their doctrine is that God is all good and God never, never at any time gets angry and gets upset. See, that shows their ignorance. Their ignorance. Jesus, the Bible teaches he was God manifested in the flesh. And the Bible said he was angry because of the hardness of their heart. Wasn't he angry when he said to them, said, thou hypocrite? When he turned over the tables, popped the whip? You don't mean that God is angry? When Jesus comes back on a white horse and the blood runs up to the horse's bridle? You don't think God is angry? When God opens up the earth like he did in the days of Moses and swallows all the people up, Moses just said, they be cursed. Let them go down to the pit quickly. The earth opened up and down to the pit they went. See, Jesus Christ the same yesterday. You tell me that isn't the same as it was over there when Peter and Paul cursed them people, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Went down to the pit quickly. Has God changed? God hasn't changed. You say the devil did that? The Lord did that. It said the Lord shall send upon thee cursing vexation. It didn't say nothing about the devil sending this upon you. It said the Lord shall send thee cursing vexation. The Bible said, I'm the one, God said, that smites, that binds up, that wounds, it binds up. I'm the one, he said, that kills and makes alive. I'm the one that sends the evil to the city or the good to the city. So he said, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing vexation and rebuke thee in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do. You say you're going to have a business and you're going to leave God out and you're going to forsake God. He said, I'll rebuke you in your business. We'll see what kind of businessman you are. You're going to build yourself a house and you're going to plant yourself a field and you're going to be a farmer and you're going to raise a lot of crops. Look what's happened to the farmers. Got rich, wealthy, haughty. Look what happened to them. God did that. Somebody said that Mr. Reagan's ain't got nothing to do with it. The Bible said the preparation of a man's heart from God. The farmers had got so haughty and arrogant, some of the worst people in the whole world. I know, I've had some fellowship with them. What was it? They got rich. They got haughty. They'd done what they wanted to. And God rebuked them. He said, I will rebuke you, he said, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed. Didn't they commit suicide? Didn't they take their own lives? And until thou perish quickly. A lot of businessmen, a lot of great men. Look at the thing that happened when the economy failed not too long ago. Look at the thing that took place. Many of them committed suicide. They lost their wealth. Why? God destroyed them. And thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. Making money, farm, a businessman. It doesn't matter who it is, construction worker. Said your filthy thoughts, your filthy mind, your filthy jokes, your filthy drinking. your filthy parties, your filthy doings. He said, you do wickedly. I will destroy you, he said. I'll send the rebukes. Try to make a little money. He said, you make a lot and bring it home and I'll blow on it and it'll come to little. He said, whatever you do, I'll rebuke you in it and I'll set my hand against you. Did you know the Bible says concerning God that I will not come in the front of a man to cause him problems or to rebuke him in any way if he wants to do something, if he's doing the right thing. That I will not cross him up in any way. Did you know God said that? But he said, the wicked, I will pursue you till you perish from over the face of the earth. He said, your offerings are abomination in my sight, whether you're religious or whatever. He said, all of your offerings are abomination in my sight. He said, every time you pray, it is an abomination in my sight, and I will in no wise acquit the wicked. I will not hear the prayer of the wicked. They can give and they can pray and they can say, well, I know God hears me or whatever, but it doesn't make any difference. God said, I don't hear them and I won't hear them and I'll destroy them. And I'll tell you what you can do. You can go give $10,000 to God, get on your knees and pray 10 solid hours, get up and go back to your way of life, and before you can get from here to Atlanta, Georgia, or get out your door to your car, God will destroy you, and not even as much as considered. All right, I just had a vision just in the last little bit. I was praying. I've been asking God to speak to me. I had a number of visions, some that really troubles me. But anyway, I just had a vision about Atlanta, Georgia. At the end of the vision, I saw Brother Owens, I saw Danny, my Danny, and I saw some of the others. Some of the others, in the vision, I recognized them. But anyway, I saw them in Atlanta, Georgia, and they were working on their jobs. And they tried to get off from their jobs for about 30 minutes to be able to get over to where they could get a bite to eat and get back to their jobs, or for an hour, or whatever it was. And they couldn't do it. They were running. They were climbing over things. They were jumping down like from the top of a trailer truck to the ground. They were trying their best just to get over and get a bite to eat and get back on their job. There were Atlanta, Georgia was so congested. There were so many people. And there were so many vehicles or whatever it was. I don't know what it was, like trains and trucks and buses. I don't know what it was. But it was so congested that the workers, the construction workers, could not get from their job to get a bite to eat and get back. It was in that bad of shape. And I saw people standing in the big buildings, in these big buildings, and people like out of Arkansas and different states, and they were standing there. Whatever they was doing, I don't know. It looked like the economy had failed around in some places. But that didn't seem to be the full thing. I feel that what it is, that it must have to do with this Democratic convention that's coming to Atlanta, Georgia. I had made the statement that they would come to Atlanta, as far as I could tell, they'd switch it over from Houston. Somebody commented on it, and sure enough, they decided that they were going to put it in Atlanta, and they're going to have it in Atlanta, Georgia. And no doubt, this is what it is, because whether true or false, I don't know. But I was told just recently that they are expecting, in the areas of Atlanta, at least 15,000 newspaper men. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I'm just telling you what was told me. But I did see this vision, and I believe the vision. I know the vision is true. And so then, I don't know whether it's going to be a congestion of so many cars and trucks or whatever coming in, but it was such a conglomeration of a mess. Until I looked in these big buildings, and at the top, there was rings of guns, like rifles, sitting around the wall. I looked at the lower part, there was a ring of rifles sitting around the bottom. And then I seen the people in the lower part and the people in this upper part in this huge building grab these rifles and turn them on one another. And the public was turning them on one another. And then as I stepped outside, I looked, and one of the great, huge, towering, great big pillars just fell over and crumbled. And some of my people wouldn't listen at me. I was trying to tell them not to mess with those pillars. Whereas the Bible said not to lean upon the arm of flesh. And a lot of people, they trust in the arm of flesh. They trust in their business. They trust in the legislative powers. They trust in science, falsely so-called. They trust in all of the things as to their worldly wisdom and understanding. But anyway, they wouldn't listen at me. They went over, and when they got near these pillars, they touched one of them, and another huge pillar started falling. And because of this, they had the whole thing falling in on their head. The whole building began to crumble in on their head. So I said that to say this. I heard something speak to me, and God began to deal with me, and this is the way it came to me. Said, you remember what I told you about the government shifting to Atlanta, Georgia? Said, this has to do with it. And then it said to me, said, you remember what I told you about Babylon? Said, this has to do with Babylon. You know, Babylon the great has fallen. Anyway, I want to read the rest of this to you. I only told the vision to let you know that this thing is near at hand and that you're involved in it. A lot of times we say, well, that was them people, and you know, that's going to happen overseas, but to us it isn't going to happen. But he says here, the Lord, listen now, let's go on. The Lord shall make thee the pestilence cleave unto thee. You can't get rid of devils and demons. They vex your very life out. You can't get rid of diseases. You can't get rid of the things out in the field. No matter what you do, they're always there. You go somewhere, it's mosquitoes, it's bugs, it's flies, it's something. If it ain't that, then it's so cold you can't stand it, or so hot you can't stand it. Everything is out of sauce. Listen now, and you're supposed to be in the land of the blessed. Think what it's like in the other countries. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off of the land, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption. That is some kind of disease that will consume your body. Now, like they used to call TB, consumption. They'd say he's got consumption because the power of that disease was consuming the lungs. He said, I will smite thee with a consumption and with a fever. It's a continual thing. People continually, the little ones all during the winter season, there's some kind of disease, some kind of epidemics, some kind of fever all the time. And with an inflammation, you know, that is a thing that gets inflamed. There's so much sugar in the body. They say that about 90% or more of the people have got sugar in their body as far as being diabetics. So he said, I will smite thee with the inflammation. That is, you can't get a sore to heal up. You can't get rid of something. You take medicine. You can't get nothing to heal up. The Bible said in that day there will be no healing medicines. There will be no doctors that can do you any good. Doctors in this day, they can't do you very much good. As a matter of fact, they're in the same condition you're in. They're dying out. Inflammation has hit their bodies. Their medicines won't help them. They're in a terrible, terrible condition. See, it says here, the Lord will smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning. Continual burnings, continual burnings. Can't get foods to digest anymore. Nerves tearing up the... Something tearing up the nerve system. Nerves tearing up the stomach system. It says, with an extreme burning and with the sword, that is war, and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass. Look at the drought that we had not too long ago. Couldn't get any water. Everything just messed up. And the earth that is under thee shall be iron. That is, it hardens so till you can't plow it. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. Read some of the books. Look at the newspapers. Look what happened here in America. Right here in Monroe, Georgia, in this area, in Walton County it was. I saw a picture during that drought, and a great area of a lake dried up and just busted up just like you'd chopped it into pieces. So it says here, The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. Somebody was talking to me just recently about a boy that's affiliated right here with this. He isn't living right. He isn't going on with God. And he's got a condition that's broke out over him that's about to, it's an itch that he just can't seem to get rid of. All kind of itching. Scabs, emrods. See, everywhere you find this, everywhere. Scab, the itch, he said the emrods, and this thing that's broke out among the people, I can't remember what the name of it is, some terrible venereal disease. Venereal diseases everywhere, what they call AIDS. See, it's breaking out, it's killing youth, it's everywhere. See, we're cursed in the cities. It's one wreck right after another on the highway. Our youth is being killed. Their minds are being poisoned. There's hardly a decent man or a woman, a boy or a girl in the earth anymore. Did you know there is hardly a girl that has virtue or a man that has virtue anymore in the earth? Did you know that? The devil, so that he can control them and so that he can handle them, so that he can have them, he has to get them to stoop down into the hog pens of the world. He can't have fellowship with them. Anything that's pure and virtuous, he can't fellowship it. Paul said, if anything have any virtue in them, anything that's pure, anything that's lovely, he said, let your thoughts be this kind of thoughts. Think on this. So he said, and thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the earth, and under the beast of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. There ain't no need of going to the hospital, ain't no need of getting medicine. I don't care what you do, there's no need of it. He said you're not going to be healed. And if God said you're not going to be healed, the doctors can do whatever they want to. They can stand on their heads. It isn't going to change it. You're not going to be healed. He said there'll be no healing medicines. He's not going to let you run to the doctors. He's not going to let you live like the devil and guzzle down beer and whiskey and take dope and ravish the earth by stealing the virtue of every decent thing in the earth and practice your lewdness and get healed. And so, well, bless God, he has. I know he has, because the rain's been on the just and the unjust. And people did not know. And where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. But folks, let me tell you something. We didn't come to the knowledge of sin. You're listening at me this morning. Every ear that hears me this morning, you're listening at me this morning. See, and you know what's right. And you know what's wrong. And God's going to require it of you. And so then he's fixing to smite you. He's letting it come in on you a little at a time to keep from destroying you, hoping that a lot of people will turn away before it's too late. He said, whosoever falleth upon this stone shall be broken, but upon whomsoever it falleth, it shall grind him to powder. Judgment begins at the house of God. Then what is it to them that are without? Look at the judgment that came to this house. Look at the problems. Look at the police. Look at everybody that pounced on this, from newspapers to whatever, television, 7-Eleven Alive. But look, God's backed them off, hasn't he? I told you they would do that. I said they'll hit us first. But he's backed them off. He's built a fence, hasn't he? Hallelujah. See, he let every kind of infiltration, every kind of devil, demon, every kind of fly by night come in here so that the police would pounce on us and think we were bad. But as I saw it in the vision, they looked. The people looked and said, we've got a good thing. Said, we've been wrong. We've got a good thing. Said, and this is Bethlehem. So that's a good thing. So then they acknowledged their wrongs. So, I said that to say this. They backed off. Now, look at them out yonder. Look at all of the things that's happened out yonder. Still happening in the government, everywhere. Look how they took Talmadge down. Look how they've attacked at Reagan. Look how they've attacked at everybody, in the, even in the celebrity side, the dignitary side of life. The upper echelon. How do you understand what I'm saying? Look at what they've done to them. They've left us alone. Not that the devil is going to leave us alone. The Bible said that he departed from Jesus for a little season and then came back. So you say, what are you trying to say, Brother Pike? I'm saying that you are not going to find healing. Though you have found it, you're not going to find it. God is going to take it away from you. Because the doctors have not been healing you. And the medicine has not been healing you. If the doctors have been healing you, if the medicine has been healing you, then why is it the Bible said there'll be no healing medicine? What happened to the healing? It was God that was healing you. God gave the herbs and God gave the plants and God gave everything else, just like he heals the animals through the herbs. They don't need a physician. He heals them through the herb. But did you know the day that we're getting into now, even the animals can't find healing in the herbs anymore. Did you know that? They're still dying out. Even with medical aids, veterinarians or whatever, they still can't find healing. They're still dying out. So then the people are dying out. You take them in the front door of the hospital and the undertaker takes them out the back door. You say, Brother Pike, that isn't right. I know, because I've worked with the undertaker. I've worked at the funeral home. We have taken them in the front door. We picked them up in the ambulance and take them in the front door of the hospital. And I've had them laying on the thing as I carried them in. They'd say, they knew I was a Christian. They say, Brother Pike, I'm going to be all right, ain't it? Y'all not going to leave me here. I'm going to be all right. I'd try to speak to them a word or two of consolation, but it was a true fact. That went around to the back and I took them out the back. See, you go down the hallway, somebody's going to the operating room. Nobody pays any attention to it. See, but all of them aren't going to the operation room. Sometimes they got a little thing pulled over their head, they're going out the other way. See, they're going out the other way. Now, I said that to try to make you to understand that it's going to get to where there's no healing medicine. You're not going to be able to be healed. God isn't going to let you live like a bunch of pigs and give his healing to you. He said, I'm angry with the wicked every day. I'll pursue you till you perish from over the face of the earth. This is not an optional thing. The churches, the preachers have gotten up across the world and in the churches and in their evangelistic ministries, making this some kind of optional ministry or optional thing of saying, you know, if you want to, okay, folks, if you don't, it's okay. And if you live like the devil after you make a confession, you got eternal security, so you don't have to worry. But I'm telling you in the name of the Lord, if you don't live holy, if you don't live godly, if you don't live pure, you don't have his spirit. And the Bible said if you don't have his spirit, you're none of his. I don't care what religion you belong to. It doesn't make any difference. And I'm telling you this. It doesn't matter if the priest prays over you, sprinkles holy water over you, and I say that for the sake of many people that hear me. It doesn't matter if the ministry of the Protestant churches tell you that you're all right, you're still going to be cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with fine brimstone if you don't live holy and godly, and if you don't forsake your sins and get away from those sins and those evils. You're going to hell. God is going to send you to hell. See, years ago when the ministry preached hell, fire, and brimstone, people stayed straight. The church stayed straight. The people out there stayed away from the church. They knew not to mess with it. But when we got this little wishy-washy intermingling of light and darkness and the carnal mind and the mind of Christ trying to mix light with darkness, and we put bathing suits in the churches, swimming pools as we say, and we put all kind of ball games and pool tables and everything of this sort we've instigated and put into the church, mixing darkness with light, the church isn't straight anymore. The people isn't straight anymore. And now you want to find out who's a Christian, you go out to the football game. You go out to the baseball game. And when they fight and drink and do the things that they want to do, then they come back and they hold up their hand and say, praise the Lord, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. The other says, I'm a Christian too. What are we going to do? I'll meet you and we'll bubble in the beer tonight. We'll have our parties. We'll be Christians together. What they mean is there'll be pigs together. Jesus said swines that wallow in the mire, dogs that lap their vomit. See, they're not Christians. That's devils and demons out there. Religious devils and demons. A consolation to the wicked, setting a light by the wicked. God said, cursed is the man that does that. If you set a light by the dead, cursed is that man. They set a light by the dead, a pure Kennedy. They set a lamp, they set a torch, they set a light. See, and it is symbolic. The Old Testament teachings, you can't take the word of God and go out and give a consolation of a light to them that are in darkness, that are dead while they live. They that live in pleasure and sin and in trespasses, twice dead some of them and plucked up by the roots. You can't do that. And the ministry of today, to get their dollar, to get fame, to get popularity, to have a big crowd, they're setting a light by them. And like a man out in Colorado, I was out in Colorado preaching. And I went over to this man's place. We become friends. He had his tent set up. And I told him, I said, brother, I said, well, come, you don't preach holiness. I said, why don't you come down the line and preach this thing like it is? He said, if I preach that, Brother Pike, I'd lose half of my congregation. I thought, well, ain't that what it's about? It's seven between the goat and the sheep. Getting the wicked out, plucking out. The Bible said, and to pluck up, get out. All of that that's leaven, all of that that's weeds. To be a new lump, isn't that what it's about? See, but that isn't what they want. If they lose half of their congregation, they lose half of their income. That's what he could have said. If he'd have said it to me right, he'd have said it, Brother Pike, don't you know I'm going to lose half of my income? See, because he could have cared less about the other part of it. He was there to get money. Now, and I believe he was a fine man, but he wasn't straight. And that's the way it is with the ministry of today. A lot of fine men, a lot of good moral men, as we call them, so far as the eyes sees. But you don't know how rotten, you don't know how bad they are. I'm talking about ministers now. You don't know how rotten, you don't know how bad they are. You don't know the dirty, scummy life that they live. But if you had a little discernment, you would know. If you just got around them and had a little discernment, you'd know just how scummy they really are. And in the midst of all of that, somebody said, where then is the preacher, Brother Pike? Where then is the ministry, Brother Pike? They're with us, few. Very few. Where is the church then, Brother Pike? If all the millions of people are doing the things you say that they're doing, where then is the church? Few, a little flock, a few, just a few, that's all. That's all that's going to make it. A little flock, just a few. Somebody said, but I read about a great multitude. I know that was a great multitude, but that was just a few out of every generation. To make up the multitude. That was just a few as compared to the millions and billions of people. Just in the world today, there's billions of people. So then, what are we trying to say? I'm saying that God isn't going to let you continue to ravish His earth, to do your filth out here on this road. It looks like that people especially pick this road to throw out their filth, and they throw out their garbage, and they throw out all the old beer cans and all the old mess and all the old slop. I have to have my men to pick it up. Nobody comes out from the city to get it. Nobody cares about Bethlehem. Nobody cares about God's way. Let it stay out there. Throw it out there. But you know what? I get somebody to pick it up. I get somebody to clean it up. I get somebody to make it look decent. Because that's all the devil wants, is to make it look like a garbage dump. People that live on the campground do the same thing. An old automobile they've had there for years ain't nothing but a junk. They wouldn't move it for nothing. They wouldn't fix it for nothing. They wouldn't paint it for nothing. They say, well, I'm saving that for something. And you think, what are you saving it for? It's in worse shape now than it was 2 years ago. And you're still going to save it for another 2 years. They've got old refrigerators. They've got junk piled up under the trailers. They've got things all around the trailer. Everything is a junky mess. Why do they do that? The devils and demons, the pack rats that come in and out the campground and that get on the campground. Demon spirits that inhabit human bodies, messing up everything. The same way with them that's running up and down the road. Them are them people out there are rats and dogs and pigs and snakes. He said, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? God called them a generation of vipers. Jesus called them a fox. He called them a pig. He called them a dog. What are they? When you give yourself to something, then that's what you are. If you give yourself to eat slop and to wallow in the mire and to live with the pigs, you got a pig nature. I don't care if you do look like a man. You got a pig nature. If you've got a Son of God spirit and a Son of God nature, even though you might be out there with the world and around the dirty, filthy, scummy mess of them that are out there, you might be among them, but you're clean and you're holy. Jesus ate with the sinners and the publicans to try to win them, but on the inside he had the God nature. See, and we're all down here in this pig pen together. All of us are down here. But folks, we don't have to stay in the pig pen. We can get up. Paul said, I say, to keep from saying you. We can get up. We can get out of the pig pen. We don't have to eat the husk that the swine eat. We don't have to lap the vomit that the dogs lap. See, but religion is mixed up. You can't tell the church from the ball game and the ball game from the church. So then, let me say this one more time to you. We're going to read on. God isn't going to let you live on his earth and be a bunch of pigs and dogs and a mess. He isn't going to do it. He's going to clear it away. He's going to clear it away. Now, you can do what you want to. You can believe it if you want to. You can reject it if you want to. God said, reject my word. I'll reject you. And you'll wind up in the electric chair. You'll wind up in a wreck. You'll wind up dead. You'll wind up with cancer. You'll wind up with some horrible disease. You'll wind up in some kind of nightmare where your family's ravished and torn apart. You'll wind up with vexating devils, and you'll be vexed from the time that you get up in the morning until the time that you go to bed at night. God said, I will send the vexating devils upon you. I'll smite you with the consumption. I'll smite you with the fever. I'll smite you with inflammation. I'll smite you with the sword, blasting, and mildew. I'll do this until thou perish from off of the face of the earth, he said. I will pursue thee until you perish. I'll send your enemy against you. You'll never have any peace. When David sinned against God, God said, David, because you've sinned against me, he said, your enemy won't never be at peace with you again. He said, and the sword, speaking of war, said it'll never be taken out of your house again. Never again. So when Solomon sinned, God let the enemy come up and divide the kingdom. Let's read on. The Lord shall smite thee with madness. Madness. People are literally going mad. They're grabbing their little children by the heels and bashing their brains out against the wall. I read where some done that, and the man said he didn't know what made him do that. He loved his children. And the same way with women, where women have actually taken and job a knife into the heart of a little one. Take a gun, blow the brains of a little one out, kill them. People take the little ones so crazy with madness and make their little ear an ashtray. I've read about this. I've seen things like this. Horrible. Why? Somebody said, well, bless God, I can handle it. I don't get like that. You're crazy. You're foolish. You don't have any sense of reason. You've gone mad. You've got beside yourself to even think like that. Nobody can handle themselves against devils and demons. You're crazy, according to what the world calls crazy. You're out of your mind. Nobody can handle devils and demons. If you can handle devils and demons, why do you act like a pig and guzzle beer all the time? Why are you ravished with passions, knowing that you're going to go to hell and be cast into a lake of fire? Why do you do those things? Why do you defile humanity? Why do you take chances with your freedom? When you know someday the law's bound to get you. The net's out there. Why do you do that? It's because you can't handle yourself. You can't handle yourself. You women can't handle yourself. You lust all the time. Every time you go down the street. When you powder your nose and when you put on your clothes. You're doing it, looking in the mirror, thinking about some man and something that you're going to do as you walk down the street. Why do you do that? Because you are a whore. You are a harlot. Somebody said, oh, bless God, my wife ain't. I said, she's a whore, she's a harlot. When she walks down the street, you just ain't got enough sense to know it. You don't have any discernment. You know why you don't know it? Because you're a whoremonger, that's why. And she ain't got enough sense to know that you're a whoremonger. That's what it is. See, that's why the Bible said God would burn them with fire and brimstone. In the hospitals, they make whores out of them. They make harlots out of them. They make whoremongers out of them. They strip the women down just like you'd skin a rabbit. All through the hospital they go with their dirty, filthy, scummy, low-down ways. Ain't hardly a decent man or a woman on the face of the earth. They bubble in the beer. It's no wonder that men drink and are all tore up. The Bible said men drink to drown their sorrow. They're sucking on a weed somewhere. All of these things. Folks, I don't mean to sound indignant, but I'm just telling you the way it is. The Bible said, Jesus said, don't that sow go back to a wallowing in the mire? God said, don't that dog to his vomit, that sow to the wallowing in the mire? Don't they go back to that? Said, you clean them up, make them religious, they'll do the same thing all over again. So then I'm just telling you, beware lest you forget God. Beware lest you forget God. I'll send these blessings on you if you'll honor me, folks. And if you'll do the things that I tell you to do, I'll bless you. But if you play with me and you try to ravish my earth, he said, I'll destroy them that destroy the earth. Them that want to bum and fight and destroy the virtues and steal everything. He said, I'll destroy them. I'll pursue them. I'll destroy them. I want to take my time for a few minutes and make sure this gets over to you. So then the Lord shall smite thee with madness. Mad. You'll go mad. The insane asylums are filling up. It's not that they have brain damage. It's not that they've gone crazy, as the world says, because of brain damage. It's because they become demon-possessed. They're out of their minds. They've gone mad. You can't control yourself. The devil will get you to drinking and get you to doing the things of the world, and you're having a big frolic. You're enjoying season. And then all of a sudden, the thing will begin to move in on you, and you'll think, well, I'm sober-minded. I can handle it. But all of a sudden, you get kind of weird up here. You're beginning to turn into what they call a vegetable. Or you begin to get kind of weird. You think, well, I just throw that out of my mind. But first news, you know, you can't throw it out of your mind. It's back again. And it's back again. And it's back again. And after a while, you're swallowed up with it. And then you're under the control and influence of another mind. And then you come to yourself and you're looking through the bars. You come to yourself and somebody's beat you with a billy stick and blood's running down your head. So you come to your senses and you find out you've been hallucinating and you knew he wasn't taking anything. See, and all of a sudden you find out that you're going mad. You can't control yourself anymore. You're going mad. While I'm preaching right now, this is getting close to a young man. It's getting close to a lot of people are sitting here. But this young man is getting close to him. He's a real young fella. But I just picked up his spirit. It's getting close to him because he realizes that he almost got that far along and barely escaped it. He barely escaped it. And he's having problems right now. Right now on the inside with his mind, he's having problems. And he's a very young fella. All right? It said, the Lord will smite thee with madness and with blindness. Now this blindness is of the eyes. This blindness is where you are intellectually blinded in the eyes of your understanding. And the Bible said you're blind and you'll not see when good cometh. I don't care how much good comes or how much God preaches to you through the ministry. You won't see it. You won't see any of it at all. Said, for the God of this world, even Lucifer, has blinded your eyes that you cannot see. Having ears, ye hear not. Having eyes, ye see not. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. You'll literally be groping and be astonished. And say, oh my God, why did it happen to me? I never thought that had ever happened to me. But because of your dirty, filthy, evil, scummy life. See, and the Bible said a man has sold his little daughter or his little son for a glass of wine. That is, you let devils and demons come in and ravish your little daughter. Or take the life of your little daughter. Or caused her or the son to wind up in prison. All because of the filthy, scummy, bubbling in the beer. And doing the dirty things that you did when you were told not to do them. See, and hundreds and thousands and millions of boys and girls around the world are dying and being killed. And little babies are being mutilated and born as freaks because of your old, ugly, dopish ways. It's been proven that even if you quit smoking after smoking so long, still subject to cancer from the smoking. Listen now, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. The Bible said, he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins, whatsoever he doth shall prosper. Let me tell you something, folks, and you listen at me. I'm sending as a minister to bear witness of the truth. Jesus said, for this cause came I into the world, to bear witness of the truth. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me, Jesus said. So, let me say this to you. You people that do not prosper, you do not prosper. Now the world prospers out yonder by cheating and lying and swindling and conniving and everything else. And God lets that happen because that's the land of Esau. That's all they get. Then they're cut off. But let me tell you something. When you that confess God and you that try to follow after God, when you don't prosper, it's because you have something in your life. When you can't get healed and get straightened out, it's because you have something in your life. The Bible said, in the day that you seek me with your whole heart, then shall ye find me, saith the Lord. And all of these problems that you've got, of family problems and everything else, it is because the devil has done it. God has allowed it because you won't do right. You won't do right. So he says that you're going to grope at the noonday like one that is blind. He said you're not going to prosper in your ways. But the Bible said he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It don't matter what he does. He's going to prosper. He doesn't have to say, well, I wonder if I ought to be a mechanic or I ought to be a plumber or I ought to be an office worker or whatever. Whatever he does is going to prosper. Just choose what you want. He said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. My blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow. You'll be like a tree that's planted by the water. You'll bring forth your leaves in your season. Your fruits won't ever wither. Your leaves won't wither. You'll bring forth your fruits in your season. Your leaves. The leaves shall be for the healing of the nation. You'll bring them forth in their season. The greenage will come. They'll blossom out. But he goes on to say, thou shalt not prosper. You are not going to prosper. You can confess your sins all you want to. You can come to the altar all you want to. You can stand before Brother Pike and Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and any other preacher all you want to. But if you don't forsake your sins, you're going to be cast alive into a lake of fire. He said, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Thou shalt be only oppressed. What if I ask the ones to stand up today just that I'm looking at? Not them that hear my voice, but them that I'm looking at. What if I ask you to stand up, everyone that is not oppressed? Do you realize that hardly be anybody, if anybody, in this church? Every one of you are oppressed. Every one of you. Oppressed with bills, oppressed with the devils, oppressed with accusations of the mind, oppressed with lust, oppressed with sicknesses, physical depletion. Oppressed, he said, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee, no preacher. Listen now, I want to go on. I'm not ready to stop yet. I know you might be tired, but I'm not ready to stop yet. Thou shalt betroth the wife, and another man shall lie with her. What if I ask men and women to stand today that this has happened to? Couldn't find decency in the earth. Hardly be any decency in the earth anywhere. Why? Because the scriptures can't be broken. Somebody said, oh, bless God, my wife's not guilty. I'll guarantee if you'll check up on her, you'll find she is. She's been shrewd and she's been cunning and she's hid it from you. If she, even those that have not gone far enough to wallow in the mire out there with one another, in their minds they've wallowed in the slop hole and their spirits are nothing but a pig. And you're living with it. and their minds aren't on you, and they're not interested in you. Their minds and their spirits is everywhere and interested in everything but you. Don't kid yourself, folks. There's none good, no, not one. They all have gone astray, and every one has turned his own way, and God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Don't be foolish. Just listen to what I'm saying. Forsake those things and get away from them. Thou shalt betroth the wife, that is, you'll get married, and another man shall lie with her. And thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Look at the repossessions. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face. Talking about the loss. And people that confiscate, take what we have, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thy eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. Concentration camp, look at what happened to them. Jails and prisons and whatever, the fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. It is sweeping all over the world, amputation and amputation. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And thou shalt there shall thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whether the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Therefore shall thou serve thine enemy, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of furious countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of the kind of flocks of thy sheep until he have destroyed thee. And he shall beseech thee in all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls come down, that is thy war protections, wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And he shall beseech thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters. The Old Testament got so bad they actually eat the flesh of their own children. One occasion where a woman hollered out to the king and said, "Oh, king, help me, help me." And he said, "How can I help thee?" Said, "Because this woman will not give me her little baby to eat." Said, "We took our little baby," said, and "or my little baby, and we ate it. And she promised that she would give us her little baby." And the king rent his clothes like he was going mad when he heard such a thing. But it says it'll happen. Already, spiritually speaking, your gluttony and your desire for your evil passions and your evil ways, you are eating up your children and selling them for a glass of wine. You're actually swallowing them up and giving them to devils and to demons and to practices of lewdness. You're eating them up with your devilish appetite, and you can't find them anymore. They're gone. See, they're wrecked. Why? Listen at it. It says, and thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. Look at him leaving him. Leaving him. They leave a woman with a whole house full of children after they've taken the woman's life, saying, I fell in love with somebody. Another woman, a devil, and two lust devils come together. See, and the judges make it so by writing the paper for the money. The same way with the woman. She'll run off. She'll get one husband, she'll get another, because she's a devil, a demon of adulteress, and she can't be satisfied. But he goes on to say, it says, the man that is tender among you, very delicate, his eyes will be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. Man has actually killed his son, and the son the father. And this will get so bad they'll eat the flesh. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son and toward her daughter and toward her young ones that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children, which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege, and straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in thy gates. That is, she'll be driven so with lust, and the desire of her passions, and new cars, and wanting to flirt around like the other young girls and boys that run all over creation at night, when we know they ought to have a curfew, and daddies and mothers don't need to give them cars to run out into the night. But the women want to get back with them and get away from their husbands. And they run with single girls and boys, and they wind up back out there. And they've actually wrecked the minds and consumed and turned into prostitutes and murderers and whatever their children by not staying with them and watching after them. Said she'll do this, for she shall eat them for the want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in thy gate. But while they're doing this, we're eating of God. We have a feast of charity. We're eating of his flesh, and we're drinking of his blood. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuances, chronic, and so diseases, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt. Remember all those curses which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, now listen to this. Also every sickness and every plague, speaking of cancer, speaking of TB, speaking of anything that's not listed in this book now. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And ye shall be few, left few in number, few there be that find it, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good, listen to this, folks, as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good, and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there shalt thou serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stubble. Right now, that's what you're doing, folks. It's diamonds and gold and silver and cars and all these kind of things, and lust, and you're in that frame of mind, and you love them things, and you worship them things, and you leave God for them things, and you're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They're idols. And he said, and among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. Always afraid some disease has got you, filling up the hospitals. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were evening. And at evening thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Remember, civilization comes from the hieroglyphics, from the Rosetta Stones and the different things of Egypt, which means that you're nothing but Egyptians and in the land of bondage, and your desire is garlic and onions unless you're born again and you belong to God. All right, I've said quite a number of things to you today, just exhorting you and talking to you, seeing this as the day comes, because a great miraculous thing is taking place. Even the thing that they're doing over yonder in Mississippi has to do with it, just before the body sees corruption. And I say these things to you to try to make you to understand. So then it's up to you. You can go your way today, and you will. And if you go your way and you still sin, and you go your way and you still do evil, remember, you will not be protected of God anymore. God will rejoice over you to destroy you. Go do those things again as to the love of the flesh. For the Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of God is not there. Go ahead and do it. But now you know. Now it's judgment. Now you will be damned. And now you will be doomed. And now you will be cursed. And the minister has brought the curse upon you. And it will be a horrible thing now, because you did not do what God told you to do. So this is the minister that will bring the end of the world. And the Bible said they hated those two prophets because they didn't preach revival. It said they hated them because the message that they preached vexed them that lived on the face of the earth. It vexed them because it was judgment from God, and they were telling them that they can't go on with their frolics and ball games and filth and dirty living and still have somebody say, God loves you. Because he doesn't love you. He hates you. He despises you. And the very thoughts of you he despises. And he said, I'm angry with you. I am angry with the wicked every day. And I will pursue you till you perish from off of the face of the earth. And let me say this to you as I close. Number one, if God loves a person that is wicked, why is he then angry with them every day? Am I angry every day with the one that I love? If I love somebody, would I take a shotgun and pursue them from morning till night, waiting to see their head so I could blow their brains out? He said, I will pursue you. I'll be after you till I destroy you from off of the face of the earth. Would, if I loved my wife and she brought me a little breakfast, would I take and throw it out into the floor and say, I don't want you, your offering is abomination in my sight? If she fell down on her knees and said, please forgive me, please forgive me, could I say, all of your prayers are abomination in my sight, your pleadings, if I loved her? No. Now see, folks, the minister's got it mixed up. The ministry's got it mixed up. They've told you a lie and vanity. The Bible said, woe unto that man that calls evil good and good evil, and darkness light and light darkness. I'm telling you, that darkness is going to bring the judgment of God upon you, and light is going to bring you the wonderful blessings of God. Whether it's my children or your children, or my friends or your friends, or my neighbors or your neighbors, or my loved ones or your loved ones, or whether it's you or whether it's me, without respect to person, this is going to happen to you. So, you go your way, do whatever you will. Take my advice, follow me, listen to me. Follow me as I follow Christ. Have a good life, have a blessing. Be blessed of God. Otherwise, go your way. Do your thing and be cursed of God. I want you to stand with me. We're glad to have Tony back. He's back from New Iberia. Tony, we're glad to have Tony. And Steve, is this Steve? Glad to have Tony and Steve. I believe you're a brother to Jimmy, aren't you, Steve? Or half-brothers. They come up to bring a few things that Steve and Tony and Jim has given to the work of the Lord. Though there were some things given to the work of the Lord, I sent them back and wouldn't have them, because the offering of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God. But these boys are wanting to cast their lot with you, and they're wanting to live right, and they're wanting to come into the true knowledge of God. And if they give offerings, then the brotherhood, as far as I know, will wholeheartedly receive them. I accept it as unto God. The Bible said, do all things as unto God. The wicked can't do it as unto God, because it's abomination in the sight of God. God won't have it. Praise is comely for the upright. So that's why I don't go out soliciting like I do among the wicked and tell them all kind of things to get them to be part of this. I try to withdraw half down through the years. All right. We're going to sing a little chorus together. Now you can tell I'm kind of hoarse and tied up a little. But I didn't shirk ministering to you. I still tried to minister to you. Tell you the truth. Tell you the right thing. See, look at it like this, folks. What difference does it make to Brother Pike? See, it doesn't make any difference. A lot of times people come to me and they say real good things to me. They say good things about me. I'm grateful. I thank the Lord. I'd much rather do that than say bad things. But the Bible said, woe unto that man that everybody says good things about. So some people say, you can't realize how degraded they are in some of the things they say against me. But it's okay. It's okay. That's their business. Wish they wouldn't, but they do. The Bible said, just be exceedingly glad. Great is your reward in heaven. They did the prophets that way. So I know they think wrong about me. They say things wrong about me. Solomon said, just listen real close. But if you listen too close, he said, you'll hear your own servant curse you. So all them that walk with me, all them that come out of Egypt, they're not of Israel, but in Isaac, the seed of faith, that is confidence in the word, abiding by the word. In this shall thy seed be called. Jesus said, they that follow me, they that do the things that I say, these are my disciples. Why is it you don't hear me? He said, you're not my disciple. So that's why I call for the fast and the different things. See, when you start getting down to business, it puts a difference between light and darkness. When you start making people deny their belly, you know, what is that man, Mahabaganda, is that what they call him? On his 70, 90 day fast, Richard says, drinking grapefruit juice, I don't know what all he done drink. No. But anyway, I'm just saying that any sacrifice, any effort toward God is accepted. People are going to say things, and they're going to do things. I'm going to go on with God. And let me say this to you. If you are a Christian, you'll live right. You'll do right. You'll take my word. You'll follow me as I follow Christ. And you'll do the things that I ask you to do. You'll do the things I say. Otherwise, you can't hear my voice. Having ears, you hear not. Having eyes, you see not. You won't see when good comes. But if you hear my voice, if you do the things I tell you, if you withdraw, you may stumble, you may stagger, you may have problems. I do. But the thing is, it doesn't matter. Jesus came to make an end of sin for you. And there'll never be any sin charged against you. There'll never be one thing charged against you. The evil one toucheth you not, because you keep yourself by his finished works. That's the way you keep yourself. You're strong in the power of his might. You're strong by what he did. See, and when you think evil, then ye are evil. For if ye think holy, then are ye holy. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. You may have trouble with all kind of thoughts coming to your mind so far as your brain through your human senses, as to your five human senses. But if you are holy and you got the Holy Spirit on the inside, you'll never let them register, not one time. The Bible said their thoughts the means while accusing or else excusing one another. If you take one of them into your mind, you are defiled and dirty. The little leaven has leavened the whole lump. But the Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not leaning to your understanding, just doing His will. To love Him with all of your strength, with all of your mind, with all of your life. To get the love of the world out of you. Abstain from fleshly lust and desire that warreth against your soul. That gives place to the five senses so it can war against your soul. Stay away from those kind of things. Die to the flesh. Paul said, I'm dead to the world by the body of Jesus, and the world is dead to me by the body of Jesus. And we that are baptized for the dead, and I've been baptized in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not me living, but Him. Therefore, let it be His thoughts and His mind. Let it be Him. So, we are another people for another world, so we don't mess with the land of Esau. I want to do something for God. Would you like to do something for the Lord? Would you raise your hand if you'd like to do something for God? Sing the little song, Jesus, Use Me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, cause my will to crumble. Though the task be great, he said, the songwriter said, I'll work for you. Let's sing that. Oh, Jesus, use me. And O Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble, for though the task be great, I'll work for you. Can you raise it a little? Let's sing it over again, Kevin. Give another key. Oh, Jesus, use me. And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there is a work that I can do, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the task be great, I'll work for you. We was up in the recording room yesterday. Wife's brother was up there. He was singing, Dale, Cynthia, or Gracie. Singing, and I said, well, it's time to eat. And he was so carried away, he said, you know, he said, this is better than eating. And as the Spirit of God began to move, he's Southern Baptist, you know, but as the Spirit of God began to move, he just tore up. You could tell he was all tore up. And his wife said, my husband said to tell you to take that church in Mississippi and make a Southern Baptist out of it so we can come and work with you. But that isn't what it is. They're longing for holiness. They're looking for holiness. Life is terminal. And whether you die young or old, you're going to die. Like some of them I've had here, some of the young boys and some of the women, here at the very altar with my arms around them and tears in the eyes of some of the young men. I've stood, talked to them, warn them, and then I remember one in particular, while I was in my room praying, they come bursting in and said he just was killed. He just lost his life. A young man. Another one that I saw tears in his eyes, and he looked at me and he said, I've got to get my head straightened out, Brother Pike. I stood there, talked with him. The boy was a fine person, had great potentials. But see, that didn't stop the devil from killing him. See, that didn't stop Satan from taking his life. You might be a fine boy, girl. I'm talking to the young fellas now. You might be a fine boy or girl. See, you might be a fine person, but that isn't going to keep the devil from attacking you. See, that isn't going to keep you out of prison. It isn't going to keep you from the electric chair. But it isn't going to keep God from destroying you. All he's going to look at is the blood. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When God sees the blood, down in Egypt, he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Folks, if you've not been born again, you don't have the blood. And the Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. Without the shedding of blood, if the blood hasn't been applied, there's no remission of sin. If you don't have the blood, then there ain't no hope for you. Ain't no hope for you. No matter who you are, no matter what you are, there ain't no hope for you. So I'm telling you, you need to be born again. You need the blood applied to your heart. You need to call on God. Today could be your death. And then you'd be cast into the lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone. Into the lake of fire. Cast in there alive. I don't want to go there, folks. You say, but what will people think about me? I don't care what they think about me. I care in that I'd like for them to think the right thoughts. Brother Morris, I care what they think about me. I want to have a decent name among people. Well, let me tell you something. If Jesus could suffer the shame he did, the Bible said, despising the shame thereof, he suffered those things for the joy that was set before him. If the Lord could suffer that for me, and that's going to keep me out of the lake of fire, you can believe I don't care what they think. I don't. Maybe you do. That's okay. It's your business. I see Tony shaking his head. I don't either, Tony. I don't care what they think. The thing I want to do is stay out of the lake of fire. You know, does it sound reasonable to you for somebody to take your hand and lead you to a lake of fire? You know, and throw you into the lake of fire, and all the time they're flattering you and saying some good things about you? You know, when they say, go right onto the lake of fire now, because if you don't, I ain't going to say good things. I'm going to say ugly things about you. You know what I'd do? I'd say, you better get started because I'm gone. You know, you can say all the ugly things you want to about me, but I'm going the way that Christ said go. So then, while we're standing here together, it really thrills my heart when I see my baby standing here. She ain't no baby now, but she's my baby. And I see my baby Gracie standing here. You know, and I know that she is sincere. No kidding about it. I know Gracie. Gracie's the kind of person, if she's out, she's out. And she's hard as an adamant stone. And when she gets in and gets tenderized, and it takes time to convert over. Evil communication corrupts good manners. But I see my children standing around, and see, a lot of you are my babies too. You're my spiritual babies. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And Paul said, I've begotten you as a father in the gospel, and I'm jealous of you with a godly jealousy. I don't want you just messing around with anything. I never allowed my girls just to go out and mess around anyway. They got old enough, they went out on their own. They'd done what they wanted to, but when they were home, they didn't do that. They had a strict line of discipline. My boys was the same way. So, God has a strict line of discipline. Not because he wants to hurt you. He loves you. He loves you. The Bible said, he that chasteneth his child often loves him. But a child left to himself will bring shame. And if a father doesn't chasten his child, then that means that there's no care for him. He doesn't care. A mother doesn't care. I want you to lift your hands up with me. Will you do that? I'll do anything in the world to help you. I wouldn't harm you for nothing. I wouldn't, so help me God. I appreciate you. Those that come out of Tennessee, those that come out of Texas, our brothers and sisters, you know, that's connected with us in Texas, that's come out of Texas, and the others, you know, I appreciate you. You're my children. You say, well, I wasn't born in under your ministry. Some of you were, because you wasn't born again when you got here. But on the other hand, some of you are adopted, but you're still my children. He said, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? Well, one day I'm going to preach a message on the adoption. See, when you're born to the first man, Adam, that body has to be adopted in. You're born of the Spirit. Your spirit is born again, but as your body, it has to be adopted in. That's the legalistic side of it. That's why the Jew waits until down at the time of the end. So, I've adopted you. You're my children. When a child is adopted, by law, he is just as much your child as the other child. And you're my children. So then, if you love me, Jesus said, you'll keep my commandments. And if you're my disciples, you'll follow me. You know, many of you young girls and boys, you're going to do wrong. I know that. You're going to do wrong. And you're going to be sorry. You're going to be looking through the bars. You mark my word. It's never failed one time in my life when I've told people this. You're going to be looking through the bars. You're going to wind up. You're going to get in a temper. You're going to do something. You're going to kill somebody. We've got a man that's coming to be with us. As a matter of fact, he's supposed to have been here for the weekend service. Something must have hindered him. He said he heard this over the radio and got a hold of a day star. And he's coming to be with us. As a matter of fact, he said he'd never seen anything he wanted to attach himself to but this. And the boy told me in his early life he was a prize fighter. Had a little welding shop, just to show you how the devil can take advantage of you. Young fella, fine fella, fun looking fella. Married, got a little family. Said he had a welding shop, working late, went over to the White Castle nearby to get a hamburger. I went to him a number of times, my wife and I. And he said a bar room close by, they went over to the bar room. After their drink, they came outside. Said as he started to get into the car, somebody raised a pool stick. I said, he just happened to look with his pool table sticks. Said he looked just before the man hit him with it. And said, his buddy, I believe, was on the other side of the car and said, being a prize fighter, said he hit him. So the first thing was to hit him with his fist. And said he hit him, and when he hit him so hard, he knocked him up against a brick wall or a block wall. And said, when he knocked him up against it, the man slid down, said he knocked the man out. And said he went on his way. Said he supposed that the woman that was the bartender, was a woman, a barmaid, had told the man that they had money. And he'd got in his mind, you know, to come out or they were Confederate in it. But anyway, said he went his way and about 4 days later they picked him up and he found out he had killed the man. Said he felt like they framed him. Said, you know, he felt like he didn't kill the man. But nevertheless, he had to go to prison, stay in prison a long time. Till God worked something out, he got saved in prison. He was a hard man. He was a hard man, according to what he told me. And when he was telling me about the miracle of God saving him, and how he almost got his arm cut off, showed it to me, there in some kind of a riot in the prison. As he told me about giving his heart to God, he broke and he cried, he wept like a little child. But I'm trying to tell you something. See, I've got a friend. Brother Mike knows this man real well. He and Mike's real good friends. He was over at a bar, sitting on a stool. There had a girlfriend. Somebody come up and made a remark. And he wasn't a real tall person. He stocky built, real stocky. Sometimes a person like that, when they hit you, it's like a mule kicked you. And he hit the man, and when he hit the man, he knocked him down. He just went on back to his bar and back to his drinking. But the girl didn't. And the girl looked, and she found out the man was dead. She told him, said, you killed him. And I guess he broke his neck. I don't know what he did, but he killed him. See, like somebody attacked him, Brother Vernon, a few days ago, shoved him down on the ground, could have killed him. I'm just telling you, you young boys, you wind up in the electric chair. You'll wind up in prison. That boy just went across to get a drink. The other man just sitting there drinking a little beer or something. See, you don't want to do that. You get temperamental. You get upset. You do things. You don't know what you're doing. Before you realize it, you'll be hurt somebody. You'll be killed somebody. I know numbers of people like that. One of these people is wanting to come and be with you. And another one has attached himself to this ministry. The other one that killed the man that knocked him down, he's attached himself to this ministry to the extent he's got confidence in this ministry. He's out in Oklahoma. Liable to drop in to visit with you. See, David of old flew into a rage because a man had mistreated him. And before he realized it, David took a hold of his sword and told his men, said, I'll go down there and kill him. Said, we'll kill the whole bunch of them. Said, we'll kill all of them. He was so angry till he started. And when he did, he met a woman in the way that was the wife of the man he was going to kill. And she apologized and said, my husband is a son of Belial. Said, he's a devil. Said, don't go down there and harm nobody. It ain't their fault. And David got reconciled. And she had wisdom that she utilized above David's understanding. She said, don't do that. Said, someday you'll be king. And said, when you're king, you're going to have that murder on your conscience. Said, don't do it. And David's temper and David's passions got him into enough trouble that the sword never did depart out of his eye. But folks, we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be like that. We've got God to guide us. We've got God to help us. The Bible speaks of a woman in another place where the enemy besieged the walls. And as they besieged, they would have killed the whole, tore up the whole city, killed everybody in the whole city. But this one woman went to the walls and hollered down at the commander of that army and said, who do you want? And they told her. Said, if you had him, would you leave us alone? And said, yes. So that was it. One occasion, I say hollered down from the wall, communicated with the commander. Would have destroyed the place. One took a man and drove a nail or something, spike, right down through the man's body. Save the people. The Bible said this woman of wisdom saved the city. A woman of wisdom. One man may save the entirety of humanity. Noah, one man, saved the entirety of humanity. Jesus saved the entirety of humanity. The Bible said if it had not been for Jesus or God leaving us a root or a seed, we'd be like unto Sodom and Gomorrah. So then, I ask you to use wisdom. You young fellows, don't oppose Brother Pye. You're out of your mind. Did you know that? You're out of your mind. See, as a man, I wouldn't be afraid of you anyway. It wouldn't make no difference to me if it's 10 feet tall. That don't make no difference to me. See, as far as I'm concerned, that wouldn't make no difference to me. I'm not a fool. I wouldn't stand around just to get myself killed playing hero. If there was something worth dying for, like Paul said, if that be the cause, I refuse not to die. God give me grace. I'm confident of that. I mean, from the bottom of my soul, I'm confident that He give me grace to die. So that don't bother me. I have no fear of death. So help me, God. I hope God will kill me before I breathe another breath. If I'm lying to you, I don't even have one inclination as to a thought as to fear of death. That just ain't in my world. I settled that long ago. And the Bible said every true Christian, they pass from that condition. If you still have a fear of death, you need to get born again. For the Bible said all of our life we were subject to bondage by the fear of death. But when we come to God, we don't have that. Even women don't have that. They died at the stakes in the early history of our world. So I'm not afraid as a man. But I don't want to do wrong, folks. I don't want to do wrong. It ain't in my heart to do wrong. It ain't in my heart to hurt nobody. That's the way it's supposed to be with you. It ain't supposed to be in your heart, in your world. But you young boys, you come against me. You're foolish. You're foolish. You're not using good sense. You'd be better off if you went and got you a rattlesnake somewhere and played with it. You'd be in less danger. And you know how much danger you'd be in doing that. But you'd be in less danger. So when it comes to things like this, you say, well, I'll do this and I'll do that and I've gotten away with that. It's true you've gotten away with a lot of things.
because I've let you get away with it. I've kept you in prayer instead of turning you over to the devil. I have the power to turn you over to the devil so the devil will destroy your body. He'll destroy it. If I ever turn you over to the devil, he'll destroy you. Paul said, when you come together, turn such a one over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. And then there is your mothers and your dads and your loved ones. See, so God has not let you go. He said, I'll turn you over to reprobate mind, let you believe a lie, send strong delusions, and cause you to be damned because you didn't love the truth. So then, I've helped you up in prayer. You that are contrary to me, and you that are doing contrary things, men and women alike, I've helped you up in prayer. I go to God in prayer, and I pray for you. I believe it was yesterday morning at 4:30. I was getting off of my knees or whatever. And yesterday morning, I was praying for a person that's right in here tonight. Praying for all of you, but praying especially for him. When he is possessed of the devil, still pleading with God. And he has talked about me, used every filthy approach, every dirty thing, and God would have took his head off of his body and ground him up like sausage in a wreck or something. But I prayed and I pleaded and begged God not to do it, to give him a chance. Already been in wrecks, barely escaped with his life, but pleading and asking God not to do it. I was praying from the other night. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Even though Brother Pike prays and pleads, it's like God said to Samuel one time. He kept pleading for somebody that wouldn't obey God. And God said, Samuel, get up off of your knees. He said, I won't listen at you no more. He said, get up. He said, I'm through with you. Folks, don't let that happen to you. I don't want that to happen to me. Don't get overconfident and don't get the feeling that you're somebody because you've got a tag in this world, because you've got an extra dollar, because you understand a little something somebody else doesn't understand, or you've been favored a little more in life as to your appearance. Don't be ignorant. God has no respect of person. He's looking at your spirit. The Bible said Jesus had no beauty that any should desire him. So he isn't looking at your person, but he is the God of the Spirit, and he weigheth the Spirit. I took my time this morning to do this, when ordinarily I would have done differently. But I did this, and I called you to a fast, because Satan is fixing to slaughter some of you. And you remember what I said, slaughter some of you. Not just take you out. And I'm trying to get my sheep in. And like the vision, when I tried to get them on the mantle, he's fixing to come to your house. I told you what he would do concerning me and concerning the church and how that God would allow it, and then he'd come to your house. Already some of you have felt the touch of it. And he is fixing to get some of you. And the only way that you get, and he's going to get your children too. Listen at me. The only way to escape or to protect them, and that's to all that you can do in praying, because like Job's children, they get so far they've got to do something themselves. And he's fixing to hit you. And when he hits you, you would give 10 million worlds if you could get back in here, Brother Pike, one time. You'll look back and you'll say, my God, I'm a fool. Oh God, give me one chance. But it'd be too late when he hits you. And he won't stop until he grinds you to pieces. He'll slaughter you. So then I'm telling you this so that you can understand, because some of you are playing around with God, playing around with Brother Pike, playing around with religion, smoking on the campground, cursing in the church, putting filthy thoughts in people's mind, going out in and out among our people and saying things and gossiping, backbiting, practicing lewdness and filth and all these things. That's the world for you. That's the church world for you. People are doing it all over the world. And the great calamity of the judgment of God is here. The cloud is beginning to move. When it moved, they went out to battle. All right, I want you to slip your hands up with me. I'm asking you to listen at me. A great sword fighter that was full of AIDS. A young fellow went after him that had kind of made himself a reputation in battle. He grabbed this sword and he went after him. And the man said, "Don't do that." "Oh yes, I'm a young fellow, I can handle it." He said, "Don't do that." He said, "Don't come close to me." He said, "You're no match for me." He said, "Don't come close to me." But the man did it anyway. And in a few minutes he was dead. I'm telling you, you're no match for the Christ that's in the heart of a believer. Stay away from the believer. They're men, they're people of war. They're very peaceable people. But you're no match for them. The Bible said concerning the saints, the scripture says, "And no man shall stand before thee all the days of thy life, and no weapon formed against thee shall prosper." He said, "For I'm the Lord, I'm the one that said it." If you are a Christian nation, a godly nation, there's not a living human being on the earth or nation that can stand against you. But when you get wicked, the wicked flee when no man pursueth.